this is Ken, your podcast preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Waters. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message is From Water to Fire. Another way of saying what I saw while driving to work in driving rain is that the baptism by water and the baptism by fire happens to authentically born-again Christians as well as to the planet. What? Right. Both events happen to those called, or rather predestined by God, and also to the planet. And surely there has to be a reason that I am seeing this morning, March 5th, 2024. And maybe as I motor through this message, God will bless us with the totality of its meaning. So whatever shall this mean? So I'm driving down from Paradise heading to work, and this thought pops into my head as it's raining cats and dogs up here in Paradise. I was thinking about how exciting it is that God had made a promise so long ago, after the first earth bath, that he would no longer destroy mankind by flood. Genesis 9:11-17. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look on to it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now, I probably don't have to say this, but it doesn't mean that we won't have floods on the earth. It just means that we won't have a flood that will destroy all flesh on the earth. So does it make you wonder why God would make such a promise to all of humanity, knowing that down the road in time and future history, this very humanity would murder his one and only son? I mean, doesn't it set your teeth on edge to think how he could state such a covenant which was brought on by our sin, knowing that even the state of America would be such that we, like the Jews in Israel, well, in all parts of wherever they were initially scattered, had rejected that which is called love. No, but one more, as we think that God was setting the stage to deliver all of humanity out of eternal condemnation. Yes, out of the eternal punishment that we brought on ourselves, on to watch us reject, mock, spit, and hit, joke poke, and well, make fun of his son offering to humanity. And yet knowing all of this, yes, having the foreknowledge to see what we would do as humanity, as if we were saying, well, okay, so you made this promise to never destroy us by flood, but we will show you our gratitude by embracing the empty promises of the false gods we will eventually prefer over you and your son. Yep. In light of this impending darkness, the exceeding sin to envelop this entire planet, as if sin was somehow to take advantage of the promise of God and dirty us up real good, he promised to never do that again. Well, if it didn't make you wonder, perhaps it does now. And but every time you look upon a rainbow, think of the investment that God made in setting up that promise. Because surely we are in need of a real sin bath, more now than ever in all of humanity. All right, back to the original for a minute anyways. So anyways, with these thoughts, I was also thinking about the beginning of the world and the end of the world, and reflecting on the pre-flood population, which had grown to about 7 to 9 billion people, and today's pre-fire population of about 8 billion people. And but also that the flood had, in less than a single season, took everybody out but 8 people. And then it occurred to me that, at the end of this earth season, the earth will burn and all things will melt away. And I don't have to say this, but it will burn by fire. So, but no, maybe laughing will soften that shot. Luke 12:49-50. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. So Jesus was ready to torch it up, but he waited. So I know there's a lot packed into that scripture, but we just need to see that God, that is Jesus, had already had enough of this planet in a short time upon it. So now right here I will connect the mystery, which is that we are born of water and then born again of fire. John 3:5-6. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here is the beginning with water. And then we see the fire proceeds in our time and calling when we are authentically born again. Yes, to receive the Spirit of God is to receive the fire of God. So, but yes, if you saw it, you saw it. And that is that. I'm talking about a different fire. A fire that is designed for equipping humans for their spiritual journey. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I just wanted to give you a couple different versions. Now, but what of this thing? Well, we see the treasure box, but we need to open it to really see it. Back to Johnny. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so but we see how we go from water to fire, right? Water equates to a natural birth, and fire equates to a spiritual birth. And the result of the spiritual fire birth is, as Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I wish we could get that one. If you understood that all things have become new, your Christianity would be completely different. I know it would, because therein lies the battle. Satan convinces you that you haven't changed, and if you believe it, then you're not thinking about all things becoming new, but that the old things haven't passed away. But Jesus says they've passed away. Okay, so the human side of the water and fire side of things is that we first must be born, which is always by water. And if we are to continue on with God for all of eternity, we must also be born of fire. But it doesn't stop there, meaning the human side of this story, because what we are really interested in is the fact that what happens to us right after we get born again by fire, and that is that we become a new person. The Bible goes on to say that we had an old man, and we, after the fire event, now have a new man. Romans 6:6, Ephesians 4:24, and Colossians 3:10. Don't forget to go back and read these scriptures. They really support the message. Besides, it's fun to read scripture. So let me try again. When we are born of water, it signifies that washing away of all things no longer needed and presents a new thing in the same event. And that new thing is you. When the flood came, it washed away those things no longer necessary for the continuity of mankind in their current condition and presented something new. An earth purged of unrighteous acts and handed over to a righteous Noah and the other seven. So in other words, the old earth had to be washed away for the renewed earth to come forth. Okay, so but because this is a temporary earth, do not think that all was made permanently well after the flood. Remember, we handed the earth to Satan in the garden. And this is confirmed first by the erosive condition of the world today, and second by what Luke stated in Luke 4:6. And the devil said to him, that is Jesus, All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. You see, we gave it away in the first act of sin committed by Eve, 1 Timothy 2:14. So now but we see the fire portion of purpose, which in part for humanity has a great purpose. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. 1 Peter 1, 6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you see that we do not end in a blaze of flames, but that the fire of God placed in humanity has a great and fulfilling purpose. So you could say that we are being refined through fire and prepared for a heavenly eternal address. The result of fire to precious metal is Psalms 119:119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. The dross is like the old man, and the refined silver or gold is like the new man. So, but now we still have this issue with the earth being ever so sin-polluted. What of its end or transformation? 2 Peter 3:1-13. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished by flooding with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heaven will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, I guess we could say to Peter, Hey, Peter, that's a bit dramatic. Next time, could you let us in on such secrets a little bit at a time? Anyways, I was first just bringing verse 10 into the message. And as I was left moving on, and also focusing on the rest of the scripture, I decided to include verse 11 through 12. But as I was moving through the message trying to bring it home, I was reflecting on the rest of the chapter in Peter and decided to include the whole thing, because it also has much hope and really kind of explains what I have been explaining throughout this message, which is, it is funny that humanity and the earth both go through the same process to get where we make the transition from temporary to eternal, or from the old to the new, one dying and another one coming forth. And yet the earth wasn't a sinner no more than Jesus was, but yet both will die to be born again. And we know that Jesus had already been born again, as he became our sins for us. Look in 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But also to carry down this line for a minute, I have shown from the word that Jesus died body, spirit, and soul, but then was made alive again. 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Like fire is to repeat what the water did, which is to erase the dross of the earth, the sins of mankind. See, it will happen. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. So cool that God spoke through his prophets to make such a statement thousands of years before he would do it. But now, it is no longer thousands of years, is it? But does it make you want to ask why God did away with the first billions group of sideways humanity with water, and the second, which, and I'm sure I don't have to say this, but will not yet did, do away with the second billions group of sideways humanity with fire? One with water, one with fire. Since I'm not sure which direction to point this kayak, I will present other pondering moments that drift down from heaven as I write this message. It seems strange only because I have yet to receive the revelation of it, that the absence of water, not the complete removal of it, but much of it gone, is prevalent in the coming future. We know that hell contains no aqua reprieve from its inferno heat, right? Luke 16:24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And what of the future new earth? Like, on top of it, not in hell. Revelations 21:1-2. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So in a great mystery, what will be in the seas and oceans places? A giant roller coaster ride? It is difficult to imagine no sea light. And yet I say God in all of his splendor knows what he is doing. And we shall not miss a thing that no longer is. Maybe whales will fly and octopuses will walk. Who knows? So it just leaves us with the question, will there be lakes or other types of bodies of water? Will we have rivers and streams? Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. What a corny lead-in. You probably saw that. But anyway, it remains to be seen as if we will have any other source of water other than this river. Rivers of water will flow from the belly. And when we pray, we can impart the fire of God into someone so that they can be lit up. Oh, how different is the water and fire of God. Maybe I should have titled the message, Cook and Boil. But then we might just get hungry, eh? Why is it that the earth had to be baptized with both water and then followed up with fire? No, the real question is, how come the same thing pertains to us? And then what happens when both of these events take place? Something new comes about. So the question is the earth following mankind's suit of being baptized with water and then fire, so that the old goes away and the new comes forth? We know that the Bible says it will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that all old things pass away. That relates to mankind, which is that the old man dies, and then there's a new man, and that humanity, that is those who are authentically born again and baptized with water, and then with fire, become a new creation. Is there not a parallelism? And was it on purpose? Is it on purpose? Is there some revelation to this whole message? We are dirt, and so is the earth. So what is happening to us dirt people is also happening to the dirt earth. What is the best takeaway from this? We get baptized and then filled with Holy Spirit fire. The earth got baptized and then will be filled with the wrath of God's fire. In both cases, the old dies and the new comes forth. I believe that there is a story to be told here, but it must come by the Holy Spirit. It would seem that the earth event is a mirror to the human event. Perhaps we are simply to reflect on the similarities of the two. Well, that's it for today. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from it. Together, we can do more to impact the kingdom than if we work alone. Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of light to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe buttons. No, really, click on it. Let's spread the message together. Let's build this ministry together. Thanks and see you next time in deep water.